Hello everyone, my name is Jacob Minig. I am the host of the Behavioral Health Integration Podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Michael Thornhill. Michael is meant to empower your healing, activate your intuition, and embody your truth. Michael is a professional channeler, plant spirit healer, and loving husband. Michael and his wife run a multidimensional center for healing and evolution over in Peru called Casa Galactica. Michael has appeared on the top 50, almost 30 podcasts, amongst other inspiring shows where he has collaborated with the host to create a unique and empowering conversation to inspire others to heal themselves and evolve. Michael, again, thank you so much for being on my podcast. I really appreciate it.
Jacob, absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me. Excited about what we might dive into today. So yeah,
thanks. Me as well, sir. Now, just again, reading your introduction, I know we're going to have a very exciting podcast, and I'm just very intrigued in your story and how my listeners are going to be able to relate to it, find passion, inspiration in it. It's going to be a great ride.
Awesome.
So normally, if you don't mind, would you like telling my listeners a little bit about yourself, kind of where you grew up and what kind of gave you the motivation and passion for doing this type of work?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, my name's Michael, as you can tell from my accent. I'm not from the US. I am from across the pond. I'm from the from the UK, from North Wales originally. And I would describe myself really as just a pretty normal person who ended up going on a pretty incredible journey of self-discovery and healing. Mm-hmm. And everything that I'm going to share today in this podcast, it's not because I'm special. It's not because I have some kind of gift or anything that anyone else doesn't have. I want to share my story here today to help inspire you for whatever your truth is. It doesn't need to be the same as mine, but for whatever that truth is, just to know that whatever you're going through, whether it be addiction, mental health, or lack of self-esteem, or not having the right relationships or work situation, just trust that if you start looking within and start getting help from people like Jacob and other healers out there doing the work, you can find that love, joy, and passion in your life. So I'm sitting here from today, as you can probably tell, feeling quite calm, quite collected. I wasn't always like this. Mm-hmm. I was a hot mess, as I think people in the States might say. Yeah. I know this because my wife's from Oklahoma. I've been picking up some lingo. We've been married for 5 years. I was heavily addicted to drugs. I was heavily addicted to work, substances, sex, alcohol, cigarettes, battling depression, anxiety that was undiagnosed. And I can look at that retrospectively and say, I was heavily depressed. I was suicidal. I was working in the rat race, trying to get some money, trying to find some freedom, get enough money so that I wouldn't have to work in a job that I didn't really love. Yeah. And it was adding more anxiety and depression. And eventually kind of the bottom fell out of it, where my life was, I was still very successful. And I think that's the thing with addiction. If you're seen by society as successful, you're not necessarily as motivated as if perhaps you were seen as like a homeless person or someone who'd lost their job, lost their family, lost their relationship. I'd not lost any of those things. So I had money that to continue buying drugs, going out partying and doing things, and things were okay in that sense. But what the motivator for me, what happened was my mother passed away about 5 years ago, maybe a little bit longer now. And she was ill all my life. And that was also a source of stress because of her illness and the worry and the trauma that caused in my life. But once I faced that death face to face, it changed my perspective when I actually saw the mortality of human existence. And even though I was kind of suicidal, not wanting to act out on it, but not really having a care for my body, for my health, and therefore being very much indulging in the addictions, not caring about my health or longevity of my life. When my mother passed, that was a big wake up call to me of like, okay, this is so hard. This is so sad. This is so difficult. I don't want to do this. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. So that took me on like a journey where I started looking at meditation. I'd tried to stop addiction a few times where, you know, I'd stop smoking for a few days where I wouldn't drink for like 2 weeks and I'd celebrate myself and thought I was awesome. And, you know, sometimes it'd be a week or less, but to cut to the chase, after working with a sound healer and some meditation techniques and kind of dipping my toe into the spiritual world, which I was a complete non-believer, by the way, I was running a company. I owned a headhunting company. I was very much into capitalism and making money and doing all these things, and nothing wrong with that, but it consumed me. So I was very, mm-hmm. very closed down to the spiritual world, but meditation started opening this world to me. And in these sound healing ceremonies, I started to have some spiritual awakening and feeling a connection to my mother's spirit, which I thought I was kind of going a little bit crazy. I didn't know if this was true. I thought it was a way of dealing with the grief, you know, all of these things, trying to make sense, trying to be logical, because I also have a background in chemistry, with medicinal chemistry. So I'm a scientist by my training, by going to university in Manchester. So very logical, very reason, logic and reason, kind of like Spock, I guess, from Star Trek, which, if you've not checked it out, check out the new Star Trek Strange New Worlds. I'm absolutely loving it. Sidetrack. So this sound healer told me about a plant medicine called ayahuasca, which I'd not heard of.
Yep.
And I was told that for people who were working through addictions, that this can be really, really life transformative.
Yeah.
I was quite apprehensive about it, because this woman told me, you know, it's not something just to kind of meddle in. It's not a drug. You know, it's a medicine. It can be very difficult. It can be very tough. You can purge a lot of these emotions and toxins and things that I didn't really understand. But I was then fortunate, when I was living in Berlin in Germany at the time, that there was some ayahuasca ceremonies nearby. And I went ahead and signed up for a weekend retreat.
Nice.
And that weekend retreat changed my life. It completely transformed my life in a way that I was not ready for. I was not ready for what I was about to experience. I was wanting to stop addiction. And bearing in mind, I wasn't even classing alcohol and cigarettes as addiction. I was just wanting to stop drugs. I wasn't even classifying or recognizing that I was addicted to that. I was like, I'll just stop doing the hard drugs and I'll be okay. Because especially, I don't know if it's like in the States, but in the UK, alcohol is just such a part of society, smoking such a part of society. It's not even seen bad. You know, it's taxed. It's part of the system. It's just part of culture.
Accepted.
Exactly. But I had a shock. And that weekend, I stopped drinking, I stopped smoking, I stopped doing drugs. I stopped everything completely overnight. And it wasn't that I just stopped it. It wasn't that I had a new willpower. It was like the urge went. Now, I'm not saying that after that, there wasn't an integrated period where there was deeper layers of the addiction to move through. But immediately, straight away, I stopped smoking, stopped drinking, stopped all these things for an extended amount of period of time, which was life-changing.
Now,
and I never thought it was possible.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on your weekend and the ceremonies that you participated in? What is that like when you took the ayahuasca, things changed right away? Or
yes, it was the ayahuasca ceremony. So Casa Galactica, which is my company, which I run with my wife here, we were a multidimensional center for healing and evolution, where we help people empower their healing, activate their intuition, and embody their truth. We work with ayahuasca in a way that's actually quite different to the way that I took it in these ceremonies, because since then, I've been spending a lot of time in the Amazon rainforest, studying with indigenous teachers, studying trauma-informed care, going through deep healing processes of myself, working with people online in my online trauma healing sessions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the way that we hold ceremony is a bit different to the way that I first experienced it. And I wouldn't necessarily recommend the way that I first experienced it, but it was perfect for me at that time.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Would you not recommend it?
Because the set, the container, the setting was more set up for a psychedelic experience rather than encompassing of healing trauma, mental health, and addiction. So it's kind of like if you were going to therapy to heal yourself, you'd want someone who would know how to deal with repressed trauma if it came up. When the root of the addiction comes up, to be able to help you safely work through that, and then also how to integrate that and make the right changes in your life. I didn't have that support. luckily it all worked out. And again, I'm so, so grateful for that experience. But there's ayahuasca ceremonies which take people on psychedelic journeys, mm-hmm. which again, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But the way that we work here at Casa Galacta is creating safe, supportive, trauma-informed spaces, which can be likened to, in many senses, the kind of ethics and standards of care which you'd find in Western psychotherapy. Disclaimer, I'm not a psychotherapist. I'm not a trained psychotherapist, but mm-hmm. we've done a lot of trauma healing work and we do the highest level of integrity work as we can in that sense. But going back to the ceremony itself, after drinking the ayahuasca, which is an Amazonian brew, which has been passed down through indigenous lineages in the Amazon rainforest, which is how I found myself in Peru. Maybe we'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But during the ceremony, I was then taken into the what was underneath the addictions or a deep layer that was underneath the addictions that I'd never been taught or told about by any therapist before. Because I'd done therapy before.
Mm-hmm.
It was clear to me. And Jacob, like to explain, when you go into that medicine experience, you see beyond the five senses. Okay. So we're walking through physical life and we're kind of just touching, smelling, tasting, et cetera, et cetera. This is like a deep knowing, a deep spiritual knowing and awakening and awareness. It's kind of like a little bit like that feeling, you know, when you wake up from a dream and you, mm-hmm. and you can't remember the dream itself exactly, but you know what happened. You know the feeling of what you learned from that dream. It's very clear to you. Oh, that was my fear of spiders coming up. I think I healed my fear of spiders or whatever it came from that dream or something like that. So the kind of the claircognizance, as we would call it, like the spiritual knowing was transmitted as well as having deep physical somatic releasing and throwing up and purging of these emotions. I was able to understand that underneath the addictions was this deep desire for unconditional love. And I was not aware of what unconditional love was like. And I went back to being born and then lying on my mother's chest and then feeling the unconditional love and feeling the unconditional love for my father at that moment in time, which was completely, you don't remember being born generally, you know, it's mm-hmm. not in our conscious awareness, but I was able to go back to that experience and feel and find that unconditional love and realize that that was what I was chasing. It was the unconditional love that all the drugs that were chasing and the synthetic versions of that, that I didn't know was available to me. But then I had an awareness of what that was. And I could see that's what I was looking for. And simultaneously, I knew that that was available to me inside, that I would learn to be able to trust that. And that took me on the journey over the last 6 years or so of doing this self-work of understanding what unconditional love is, how to access that, how to cultivate that, how to share that, how to be a loving husband, how to be in service. But I could see simultaneously is that the unconditional love is what I was chasing. I could simultaneously see all the aspects of my life, the work, the relationships, the friendships, the drugs, my idea about what life was, my idea mm-hmm. of the limited idea of reality, being a human being, just in a finite life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All these very, very strong held beliefs that I was living my whole life. I could see that those weren't in alignment and I was living out of alignment with my true self. And that was another reason for me numbing myself with the addiction, because I was living life off course. Mm-hmm. So I was numbing myself because being off course. So I realized I had to come into alignment by finding out what my true self was. I didn't even know what that was. And, you know, that's a continuous process. And I recognized that it was unconditional love that I was looking for.
Yes.
And I had a glimpse of it. And then I realized I needed to stop chasing the synthetic versions of that and work out how to find that within myself.
So I want to ask your opinion on something. So as a child, when we go through traumas and as we grow up to adolescence and go through addictions, do you think that's more of like a spiritual blockage? Like we're trying to obtain something, right? Like you mentioned before, that's not possible, but it's some type of like negative entity or blockage, and this ayahuasca maybe clears that out. And I'm just free thinking right now. So
yeah.
Just.
Yeah, sure. No. I'd be happy to elaborate on that. So my understanding is things happen to us as we're growing up, and it can be from varying levels of experiences, from not being picked up enough while you're in the cot, not having enough time being held as a child, through mm-hmm. to bullying, through to physical sexual violence, whatever it may be, anywhere on that spectrum, you know, or beyond it. But whatever it is that happens to us creates a scar. It creates a wound which reinforces separation. So in my experience, we're spiritual beings that come mm-hmm. into the physical experience, and then we forget that we're oneness with one consciousness. So the traumas in this perspective reinforce the idea of separation. So reinforce the idea that we're separate from oneness, from the universe, from creator, from whatever you want to call it, but it reinforces that separation. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, that creates scar tissue, which then we have to put on our protective. We have to put on our armor. Mm-hmm. We have to be okay. You know, things out here can hurt me. Yeah. People aren't able to educate us about opening our hearts, about community, about unconditional love, and all those things that I've kind of mentioned. So we create this identity which perpetuates trauma, which is a perpetuation of trauma. It's grown this personality, this trying to be competitive or trying to you know impress or try, you know, being in the high school and then having to impress people. And then if you don't want to be singled out, you don't want to be the person who's going to be singled out for doing something stupid. So you create persona that's not you, but it's like, if I do this, I'm going to be safe. So we have all these different protective mechanisms which are created, and I think the unraveling of those, when we recognize why and how those defense mechanisms came in place, once we can release those, we can find more of our true self can begin to shine through. And I think addictions is another one of those defense mechanisms.
Absolutely, because like when I work with my clients, majority of the reason is, again, they use certain substances or drugs and alcohol is because there's something in life that they cannot do without it. Like social anxiety, like a man, let's say, may have anxiety about going to a party, even talking to people at a party. So they drink alcohol prior to going to the party and they feel good and they can actually do it and mingle with people because of the alcohol.
Absolutely. But you think about this, and this is how I look at it. If you had a massive cut on your arm, yep. And then you were like, okay, I need to take painkillers because this cut is like absolutely, it's really, really hurting.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so you're going to take the painkillers. That's one way to deal with it. Like the drinking, like the alcohol, like the drugs. Or the other option is heal the wound. If you heal the wound, you don't need the substance to numb the pain because you heal it at the root cause. Now, what's interesting is, as you just mentioned about the person going to the party and hands up, definitely me, was social anxiety. And when you come off the alcohol and you try to interact with people for the first time, holy moly, that is scary. It's like, ah, my gosh, it's like panic attack. What am I doing? You know, it can be tough when we start to try and interact with people for the first part when we're not inebriated. But it feels to me like from this, what I see about that is that we really just want in human connection. We want in connection with each other, which I think is another big antidote to addiction, having connection. And it's connection, in my experience, connection with other human beings, connection with the earth, and some form of spiritual connection. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be a Christian and go to church or have a religion or whatever it may be. It can be a meditation practice. It can be something, whatever it is. It could be reading a book that you like that helps you connect to something outside of yourself. But I think those things, connections with the earth, connecting with the earth and nature, connections with other human beings, and some level of spiritual connections. Yeah. And then we can start finding, and this has been my experience, we can start finding all those things that the alcohol is giving us, that the alcohol, the drugs are being synthetic versions of what we're actually looking for. And then finding what that wound is, like what I just said about the wound on the arm, you can find that if I have my spiritual connection, I have my human connection, I have the earth connection, then that wound begins to heal and I don't need to cover things up. So that becomes in what I would describe as living in alignment, whatever that might be for you.
Yes.
It doesn't need to be what it looks like for me. It could be what it looks like for you. Find your alignment. You won't need drugs as much.
I absolutely loved how you mentioned finding the roots of the issues. Like, headache, right? Well, I'm gonna just keep taking a leave or whatever to get rid of this headache, when in reality, oh, maybe it's because you sat at a desk and stared at a computer for 8 hours straight. Maybe you think that's why you got the headache. But what I'm more interested in, you know, that disorder ADHD.
Yes.
I'm very interested to know what this would do with someone with severe ADHD. How it would heal it naturally, you know what I mean, in a sense.
Okay. So disclaimer, this is just my experience, and this is kind of what I feel from tuning into to that question.
Yeah.
The ADHD that can arise because of the amount of toxins and chemicals which are in our environment, which then cause the nervous system and the brain to perhaps function in a slightly different way. So one of the first things we do, and I'm not saying that this is a cure, but what we can do if we're finding ourselves with any level of attention deficit, we can recognize that there is more than likely a physical component to that, because you look at all the junk food that's available, yeah, pesticides, the preservatives, all the toxins in the air, and we accumulate those toxins in the body. So one part that we can do, and this is, I'm drawing now again on the work that I've studied in the jungle, in the Shipibo tradition, in the plant spirit healing traditions. This is of South America. But you'll also find this in the Ayurvedic traditions in India as well, and across into Chinese medicine and other things as well, is just the detoxing of the body. So the detoxification of the body. So if we're going to go back to thinking about the healing of a wound, the first thing you would do is clean that wound, yes, so that the wound can heal naturally. So if you've got any level of condition, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, one thing that can pretty much guarantee to alleviate symptoms, whether it be inflammation, attention deficit disorder, or anything else, by detoxifying the body. Now, you can do like wheatgrass juices and green juices, okay, and other things. You can do some level of fasting with different herbs. You can do other things to detox the body, and it can be from fairly aggressive to fairly light. But whatever it is, whatever you find works for you, with a naturopath, with a healthcare provider or a practitioner, work out how you can do not only just changing your diet, but having a detoxification process, because there are plants, herbs, and mechanisms, and fastings, and juice detoxes, and things like this plants that actually help take out heavy metals out of the body, like cilantro, for example, and like turmeric for the liver, and things like this, and then milk thistle for the kidneys and the liver, which are, you know, these are three simple and great effective herbs that you can use. Then you want to look, once you start cleaning that palate, is then how am I going to live more in alignment with what my body really needs, yeah, by having the right amount of fruit and vegetables, organic produce where it's possible, to then start minimizing those toxins which come in. But I think here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Our bodies do detox naturally. That's why we have our liver. That's why we have our whole lymphatic system. That's how we detox our body. But from time to time, a couple of times a year, it's good to help detox the detoxifiers. So you need to detox your liver. You need to give that a break. But your body's great. Your body's healthy. So if you can give yourself those breaks once or twice a year, clean that out of your body, your level of energy, your level of concentration, your level of vitality will drastically increase. And then you don't need to eat vegan. I don't eat vegan. I have done in the past, and I found great benefits from that. And I've also found myself eating meat and fish, and that also having great benefits from time to time. It's not about what that diet is. There's no one size fits all. It's about the question of what does your body need and how can you live in alignment with that? So you can look at many different illnesses, and this is not necessarily it's going to cure everything, but if you do that, detoxify and then eat in alignment, you're going to transform your mental and emotional state straight away.
That's excellent, because I've tried that in the past where I did all the juices, which I'm fine with the juices. But again, there's strict rules where like there's no eating solid foods. And that's the part where I always personally struggled with. Mm-hmm. It's just I need to eat meat, and, you know, I'll drink juice, but it's just so unnatural for me not to eat meat. That makes sense.
Yeah. I think you got to work out with whatever detox program works for you. There's so many different ways of doing that out there. And you know, I know when I came down here and part of studying in the Shipibo tradition, there was a lot of what we call for plant diets, where we are studying and learning with the trees. Mm-hmm. To do that, you'd have to fast. So, and I remember the first time I did a fast, I was like, this is insane. I'm going to die. And I, you know, I could hardly do 24 hours. And then after a while, I was like, okay, I got through it. Yep. So then you can, with those detoxes, you don't have to run the marathon straight away. You can kind of do like the 100 meter. Like for instance, like this last week, I found this is really incredible, and I felt this really cleaning out my liver. We have a juice here, and this is available everywhere, but beetroot, apple, carrot, ginger, orange juice. And I just felt that this week, just naturally, I was like, I'm just going to drink that juice in the morning. And until lunchtime, I'm not going to eat anything. And I can feel that just by just doing that, just for like half a day. So I'm not eating anything after my evening meal. So you can kind of think that's kind of like 16, 17 hours without any solid food. And it's doable. You know, that juice is great. It gives you energy. And it's just like, okay, I'm just going to skip my breakfast with a solid food. And it's like, okay, great. I can feel it. So you can see already, you don't have to be this kind of like bravo egoic. I'm going to fast for like 5 days and do this. And just like those little bits of breaks of refuel in your body. Like it's amazing. It's amazing to underestimate the effect that toxins, chemicals, preservatives in our foods can have upon our mental health.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Also, I want to retract or rewind a little bit, going back to what you said about human connection and how powerful it is for us as a community. Like, we have that natural desire to connect with other people. I find that very interesting because it kind of reminds me of back in the caveman days, where it's like they needed to be in tribes. They needed to be in groups for survival to, again, preserve their community and keep everyone safe. Am I right?
Well, I don't remember too much about the caveman time. That sounds about right. And I totally agree with you on that sentiment of, and it is very interesting, this, the tribe and the community. And I was having a conversation with a dear friend the other day about how we find ourselves in individual housing, where society, it seems like it's more profitable for us to be in separate families, in separate houses, everyone having one of their own thing. And I'm sure that there's many other reasons and with regards to that as well. But what my point is, as you so eloquently said, was we are out of our natural habitat in terms of connection with other human beings. We were used to having, you know, using the caveman analogy, used to having someone, okay, this family father is going out hunting, someone else's family will look after the kid for a little while.
Yeah.
Or, okay, this family has just hunted some meat, we'll share this meat with everyone. So that load is shared. And I think that's in modern society, how much pressure we have to pay the bills, how much pressure do we have to individually succeed, and also how much emphasis on individual success is placed rather than the community and the collective advancement. Right. And I think that's going to be a big transition that we see on planet Earth as we move through this transition from this phase of the planet of third density into fourth density, transitioning into more heart-centered living, the breaking down of the boundaries between individual family units and opening up more and more into community living in whatever way that may be. Doesn't mean that we have to have individual, that we can't have our own houses, because it's also fine to like your own space. I certainly like my own space, but it's how do we break down the barriers that are preventing us from heart-centered living?
Well, and as time went on and technology increased too, you're less reliant on people because you don't need your neighbor anymore for survival. You know, you have your house, your security system, and so forth. It's just, And also, I remember you saying like your experience when your first retreat, right, with the ayahuasca. Did you feel like you had a much more special connection with the people that you did it with when it was all over? Like when you all shared an experience together, or what was that like?
Very interesting. Good question. The healing of trauma on that level, it opens you up. And once you can kind of see past what we would call the veil of illusion and kind of feel the interconnectedness and everyone being in this space, being very, very heart open, which in my experience is more in alignment with our natural state of being. After you've been at an ayahuasca ceremony, that open-hearted oneness will stay with you for quite a period of time afterwards. There's obviously integration that you can do to continue to maintain and integrate that level of openness into your being. But it was a very heart-open group and feeling very, very deep, authentic connections, which again, as we've just talked about, it is kind of like one of the reasons why when we're stressed and we're alone and we have a problem that we turn to substances because we don't have anyone else to turn to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's very beautiful to feel that heart open connection with people.
Absolutely. Now, I would love to hear more about your program actually right now. And yeah, the policies and the procedures, and if a person were wanted to do it, what would be the process and how they do it?
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you, Jacob. So first thing is just go to our website, www.casagalactica.com. You can find Healing and Evolution in Peru. That's us, me, Michael, and my wife, Jamie. And we have a absolutely thorough website, which shares a lot of information about our retreats, our 10-day ayahuasca healing and evolution retreats. So we're based in Pisac in the Sacred Valley of Peru. So my first thing would just say that go and check out the website. We have a load of content there. And you can also click on our website to get a free consultation with Jamie or I for a 30-minute consultation. We can talk more in detail about your own personal experience, your own personal set of circumstances, and we'd be happy to share more about how that can benefit you. But this 10-day program that we've put together, we do retreats with just four people. So okay. You can go to places where there's big groups, and we've done some bigger groups in the past. But because we have such a focus on healing and evolution and personal one-on-one care and attention, you know, we do get a lot of people who come to us who wanting to heal from addiction, from PTSD, from trauma, and other people also wanting to experience more of a spiritual awakening and to learn from my wife, Jamie, and I, because we're both professional channels, intuitive mediums, trauma-informed healers, and plant spirit healers. So we have a program that is designed to be a catalyst in someone's own healing and evolution. So in that, we do four ayahuasca ceremonies, but we also have eight other plant medicines that help to clean the mind, body, and spirit. We just talked a lot about the detoxification process. Mm-hmm. It's a big part of the program about cleaning out the detoxification of the body, which is really, really important in the addiction process. Because, you know, if you're in the addiction process, mm-hmm. and you're having withdrawal, the withdrawal is the substance leaving the body. Yep. And then if you spoke to anyone who stopped smoking, the first 3 days are the hardest while the nicotine's still in the system. And once the nicotine's out, it's still not necessarily easy, but it's like, okay, my body's clean. Or if you hear someone who's coming off heroin or other things like that, once it's out of the system, it's much easier to stay clean. So this detoxification process, which is on our retreats with saunas, with different purgatives, with different natural plant medicines, helps to clean the mind, body, and spirit. From not only from drugs and alcohol, but from pesticides, clean the liver out so that your body starts working in harmony when you can feel fresh, vibrant, and alive. So we have this full program. We have very, very tasty food cooked by a local Peruvian chef. And then we also have a whole bunch of different workshops, which we impart tools that we plant seeds that give you the tools, not just to have a 10-day experience with us, but this to be a catalyst for the next 10 years of healing and evolution in your own life. So you can go home, you can implement all of these talks, all of these workshops, all of the individual sessions that we have with you so that you can go back and continue to study. You can have the whole curriculum with you that you'll be able to implement into day-to-day life. But before that, we have a whole preparation process about making sure that we have a full health and wellness screening, making sure that there's no contraindications. We have a full trauma-informed care schedule, which means that we look after everybody with the highest level of safety and integrity. That means if you do have a level of trauma, if you do have a level of abuse or addiction, or not sure how to handle that, we're here trained, first aid trained as well, to be able to safely guide you through that process. And on the other side as well, then we also have integration sessions, which are included in the package. We have group integration sessions, and we also encourage and support the group interaction of, we've been talking about human connection to help people going through that process. And often we find people have lifelong friendships that mm-hmm. arise from these types of retreats when you kind of go and do that deep work and people keep in touch. And then we also have our monthly online integration circles that we provide for free, which we're just about to start up as we're going out into coming back out into retreats after the pandemic. So everyone who kind of comes and works with us, whether you come into work with us online, because mm-hmm. we do our online trauma healing sessions, online channeling sessions as well, or come and do plant spirit healing, medicine work, ayahuasca work with us, we create a supportive net for you to fall into so that we can support you as you begin to reestablish the life as the truth of who you are, as more open, more compassionate, more caring, more aware of what works for you, what doesn't. teach you how to create healthy boundaries. We'll teach you how to say no to those friendship groups that are no longer serving you. We'll teach you how to start making relationships and friendships with people that are supportive and give you a whole host of integration tools so that you'll never feel alone throughout that process. Because one of the biggest things with addiction, I think, is feeling alone. It's feeling like you have to do it alone. And again, one of the antidotes to that is reaching out for help and reaching out for connection.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And do you guys also have like protocols where, I don't know, like someone like me, right? They might be kind of nervous and they're like, well, I don't want to take a lot of the substance. Do I take a little bit at first and then gradually take more over time, or is that
right? Yeah. So great question. And the first thing we want to talk about trauma-informed care is consent and choice. So informed consent and choice. So we'll tell you before you take any of these different plant medicines, and we have so much information on our website. Again, I recommend you go back to the website, CasaGalactica.com. Mm-hmm. But whilst you're there, we do an individual preparation call with you. So we'll talk through all of this. We'll go through any of the fears that are arising for you. And again, you can connect to us before even booking with us to talk about some of these fears. But once you decided that you want to come to us, you'll fill out a full form and we'll go through your medical history and the trauma history, just so that we can be able to be aware of what's going on for you and talk you through what you might want to expect on the retreat. And then whilst you're on the retreat, every medicine that we provide is completely optional. So if you get here and you're like, actually, I don't want to drink ayahuasca tonight, I think I'm going to do the next ceremony, completely fine. We'll also tailor everyone's dosage to what we feel like intuitively is the right amount for people, because someone who perhaps is like 6'6" versus someone who's like 5 foot or something and different weight, you're going to need a different amount of medicine. So it's not a one size fits all. And then before you take every individual other plant medicine that we provide a personalized and tailored plant medicine program for each individual. Wow. Which is to help with everyone's unique set of conditions. We'll fully explain what it's going to be like. We'll fully explain what the effects are like through you. And then we'll always be there throughout the whole ceremony, after the ceremony, even in the middle of the night. You have walkie-talkies in your room. So if you're like, okay, I've just gone back to bed and I'm feeling like actually the ayahuasca is still working and I don't know what to do, you know, we'll be there with you. So we'll take you through that whole step of the process so that you don't have to face anything on your own. So much of the trauma we face in our life, we have had to face alone. And that's when it gets stored. That's when it gets repressed. That's when it unconsciously expresses itself in our relationships. So we take you through each step of this process. And it's our absolute passion to serve and to help people feel safe and secure throughout this process, because it can be scary.
Mm-hmm.
It can be difficult as to face what might be the cause of the addiction. You know, unfortunately, the reason that we find ourselves addicted to different substances, sometimes it's not pretty. It's a little dark.
Mm-hmm.
We hold that in unconditional love. Whatever's happened to you, whatever's caused you to experience that level of addiction or depression or anxiety or whatever it may be, we hold all of it with unconditional love. We're here to help bring that to the light, to help you through that process. And yeah, we're here for you every step of the way.
I'm curious. Let's say if someone is on medications prior to coming to your retreats, let's say if they're like on like Adderall or any type of anti-anxiety or antidepressant, do you still allow them to take those with them, or do you say, hey, minimize that use prior to coming?
Yeah, so ayahuasca is an MAOI inhibitor. So SSRI antidepressants or other medications or other antidepressants are highly contraindicated with ayahuasca.
Okay.
So we require people to have a washout period of not taking them, usually from a period of anywhere to 4 to 6 weeks, depending on the medication.
Okay.
So we have to take a full list of what people are taking before coming onto the retreat. And then we get people to sign a disclaimer and a waiver saying that they will stop taking these medications before coming to the retreat. And we also say that that needs to be done under the supervision of your healthcare professional. And that needs to be a joint decision that you feel, okay, I'm going to taper off these medications. And again, we're not saying there's anything wrong with these. It's just for your health and safety so that there's no negative interaction. And then afterwards, we normally say to wait a week or two before you start taking the medication again. And what we also find is in situations with antidepressants or some anti-anxiety medications and things like this, people often find that they don't need them going to go back on them. Or if they do, they're with a much lower dose. Okay. So what that's because the root cause of what that anxiety and that depression is treated. The anxiety medications, the antidepressants, they treat the symptoms. They treat the symptoms. Going back to the cut on the arm, it's like putting a Band-Aid or a bandage on top of it, which in one level, although again, nothing against antidepressants, and that they can be very, very beneficial for people, and it can be a very good tool to help move through that process. But on some level, they're also serving a similar function to alcohol or drugs.
Okay.
Not the same, again, not saying the same, but the similarity is that they're covering up the symptoms. And that's why people often find themselves when they're on antidepressants, it's normally a lifelong prescription. It can be a lifelong prescription, or people stay on them for many years. So for anyone out there who is working with antidepressants, again, nothing against them. My advice to anyone is if you're on antidepressants, do the active work to work with whatever it is at the root cause whilst you're on them, and see eventually if you can taper off those. But yeah, going back to the retreats, we have a strict policy to not have alcohol or drugs or pharmaceuticals prior to coming to the retreat. Yeah, we take everyone on a case-by-case basis. And that's why we have this in-depth health and wellness screening questionnaire, just to be full. And we have full medical guidelines on our retreat page as well, on our website at casagalactica.com. So you can see the medical contraindications. And again, just to express, again, just to make sure it's clear, we're not against pharmaceutical medications. We just say that this is what you need to do to come to the retreat for this period of time, so that you can work with these plant medicines, these sacred plant medicines, in a safe and effective way for your own healing process.
Beautiful. Can I take a wild guess? Do you ever get a lot of couples that come to you for the retreat?
It's interesting. We do have couples that come. We have couples that have come together, and we've also had couples that one couple has come and then they've come later on. So it can be a very beautiful experience for a couple to come together, because they can have that process together. Mm-hmm. We also have people who come and do their own work, and then they go back home, and then they're like, okay, then they send their partner, because they're like, I've done my work, now it's time for you to go and do some of your own work. So yeah, we cater to people in different scenarios and settings. And some people find that they prefer to kind of go and do that deep inner work themselves. Yeah. Other people find it more supportive to have their partner there with them.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Now, are you and your wife the two main healers for these retreats, or do you have other staff members as well?
No, it's my wife and I. So we are professional channels, trauma-informed healers. We have studied and trained the Shipibo Corindorismo in the Amazon rainforest to hold ceremonies. We're multidimensional healers, which means that we work with spirit in a variety of different ways in our online healings and ceremonies and settings. And we're advocates of trauma-informed care. And we speak from a level of experience of working with people in the ayahuasca space, in the multidimensional space, for many combined years together. We speak from years of experience as channel intuitives, and we also speak from a very dedicated personal practice of healing ourselves from trauma, from sexual abuse, from addiction, from living and walking the path, from living that path authentically, and sharing what we've learned along the way. So I would say that we create a very loving, caring, compassionate, powerful dynamic space for people to come and heal. We've trained in different traditions, but we've evolved our own way and methodology of working, which combines many different methodologies. Just like when you see some of the best therapists, or perhaps if you look at someone like Gabor Mate, who's studied in many different fields and had many different experiences, and out of that blossoms that truth, which is, this is the truth that underlines all of those different teachings. And for us, this is what we do in our work, and this is why that we lead the work ourselves, because we find that this is the most effective way for people to come and heal and evolve with us, to be in a trauma-informed setting. That also, when you come here, you recognize that many of the people that, you know, most of the people that come and work with us are from the Western world. Mm-hmm. Working with people directly from the Western world, we have an innate level of understanding of what it's like to live and experience that life. We've experienced and healed from the similar types of trauma, from the similar levels of oppression, which which have caused us to be addicted in different ways. So we don't say that we understand what it's like to be everyone in living in the Western world. And we understand that there's been many different levels of trauma and experiences and racial injustice that we don't have direct experience of. But what we do have is a level of care and compassion and inclusivity and non-discrimination. We welcome all genders, all sexualities, everyone from whatever different background or faith you may be. We just have a certain level of care and standard that means that you have to be able to pass the health and wellness screening questionnaire. So, because the first, we don't want to do any harm. We want to make sure that it's going to be safe for you to engage in these modalities with us. And then once you're here, we'll give our hearts and souls to help give you the best opportunity for you to heal yourself. While simultaneously reminding you constantly that we're not your saviors. We're here to help point you back to yourself so that you're going to be empowered on your own healing journey. And that's really, really important for us.
That's very beautifully said. That's awesome. That really is. You know, it's just a spiritual guide and to help people reach their goals, man. That's a beautiful work you do. And that's awesome. It really is. And again, thank you so much for being on my podcast. This is truly special. And I had a lot of fun doing it with you, man. I really did.
No, thanks. Thanks so much, Jacob. And yeah, for all of your audience out there, thank you so much for listening. Invite you to come to our website, to casagalactica.com. You'll find all about our online healing sessions, about our retreats there, but it also invite you on the homepage to sign up to our newsletter, because straight away you're going to get a free guide, a handbook to strengthening your innate intuition. And then we've got a free fundamentals of healing trauma workshop. And then we also have 20% off our first session with us. So you can go there and you'll be on our mailing list and you'll get access to all of our content. So that's all completely free. And you'll be able to access that straight away when you go on our website.
And I will put the link to his website, everyone, on my show notes. So it's one click away. So you'll have access to it.
Awesome. Yeah.
Again, well, Michael, it was awesome, man.
No, thank you very much. And yeah, absolute pleasure. And thank you for all the work that you're doing and the great conversations you're creating and creating awareness for mental health and addiction. And I just want to remind everyone that you're not alone. Wherever you are, you don't need to come to Peru. You don't need to work with us. Wherever you are right here and right now, there's free resources available. There's support groups available. Just start with that intention of wanting to heal and just keep following each breadcrumb on that path until you find your way to that freedom. That's already there, because I know all of you can do it, even if it's so hard. I've been there. I never ever thought that I'd be free of addiction. I never ever thought that I'd find love. I never ever thought that I'd be happily married. I'm all of those things. And I'm just getting going. Life's just starting. And there's so much out there. There's so much out there on the other side of the addiction. And when you're in that throes of that addiction, when you're in the middle of it, nothing else matters. I just tell you, it's all worth it. It's not easy. It's not easy, but it's worth it. So just know that you got this.
Very well said. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
I just want to thank Michael and all my listeners for another great BHI episode. I also want to inform all my listeners that the content and information expressed in my episode was not meant to be taken as therapeutic advice. If you do find yourself dealing with any type of mental health or addiction issue, please seek the care of a medical doctor or a licensed mental health therapist. All right, everyone, thank you and have a wonderful day. Bye.